All right, today is Mission in the City Sunday, as Rob's already mentioned a little earlier, and that means we're doing things a little bit differently today. But I'd like to introduce this in light of the series that we started last Sunday. And so last Sunday we started this series called Life in the Kingdom. And the idea here is that Christianity and the gospel is more than simply being saved from sins and going to heaven when we die. Right? Instead, there's a reality that happens right now, and the reality is that we're kind of living in the midst of two kingdoms that are at war with each other, and all of us are born into the realm of the flesh. And so we're surrounded by this. We're born into this. All of us have friends or coworkers or classmates or family members who are living in this realm currently. And all of us started there. But we're living then really in this conflict between these two kingdoms. And if you're in the realm of the flesh, you're living in a spot where you're actually unable to live in a way that pleases God. You can't do it. Physically, spiritually, it's impossible to do. But the good news, the gospel, actually this is the gospel that Jesus preached, is that there's another kingdom, and this kingdom is breaking into the world that we're living in right now. That's good news. We don't have to be left in this realm of darkness with our minds situated and focused on the flesh. We can actually live in this new kingdom that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus actually joins us, or rather invites us to partner with him, to join him in saving people out of this one realm, this realm of darkness, and into this new kingdom, this new realm. And so I'd like to read a passage of scripture that I've been meditating on this last week in light of this. And it speaks of the reality of these two kingdoms. And then I'm going to introduce some of the guests that we've got with us today. And so this comes out of Romans chapter 8. It's the first eight verses there. If you wanted to follow along, that's fine, or you can just listen. But this is Paul speaking about these two kingdoms. So Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, Paul writes this: "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And this is Paul speaking about us in this kingdom, in Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, we enter this kingdom that's breaking into this world, and there's no condemnation. Like God's pleasure is on us. That's an incredible reality. Paul says, "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh," this is this old reality, "God did." So you couldn't do this. You couldn't obey the law. God did it on your behalf by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. That's living in the kingdom right now. We can actually fully live out the full requirement of the law because we're in Jesus' kingdom. That's good news. This isn't talking about when you die, you go to heaven. This is heaven right now. Amen. Thank you. And so Paul goes on, "In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." That's right now. "Those who live," now here's the two kingdoms, "those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." Find out what kingdom you're in. Where's your mind going? "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace, now and when you die. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm, the kingdom of the flesh, cannot please God." So there's these two kingdoms, and the people you're going to hear from today are going to tell us where God is using them to break into the realm of this world.
There's kingdom warfare going on here, and these are people who are involved in helping people move from one kingdom into another. And so there's lots of organizations we could have chosen. We got three with us this morning, so we got Youth for Christ. Many of you guys know Steve Swan, used to be the youth pastor up at Heartland Baptist. Steve bought a house and is moving today, and so I let him off the hook. He said he's sending somebody else. That was going to be Josiah, who's one of his employees. Josiah got sick this morning and called in, and so I said, no problem, Gira lives pretty close, and she's another employee. She didn't answer her phone, and so we said, well, who could we get, you know, who'd be our fourth pick if we had to choose somebody? And so we decided to go with a board member, Pastor Kim, actually, who happened to be here already, and so she's going to give us a little bit about Youth for Christ. We've also got Nest Lake Bible Camp. Dave Horton is here with his family, and you saw some of them already, and we've got the Prince George Pregnancy Care Center, formerly known as the Prince George Crisis Pregnancy Crisis Center or something like that. Now I'm getting it all mixed up, but they'll tell you a little bit about that. So I'd like to start with Kim, actually, and so you can come on up. And I've asked them all to really answer two questions. And this is really in light of this series that we've been in. So where have you seen God at work? In other words, where have you seen God's kingdom breaking into the realm that you're in? And the second question is, where do you feel that God is leading you guys from here? So, Kim, 5 to 7 minutes. I know you've been preparing for this for a long time. And so, take it away.
They say, like, the less time you have to prepare, the more you ramble. And so that means I got about, like, 20 minutes? No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. Awesome. It feels great to be fourth pick. I really like that. Luckily, yeah, like Rob was saying, there was a big fundraising variety show last night at Westwood about Youth for Christ, so that really gave me an opportunity to freshen up on my stories and to hear what God was doing, and even though I'm a board member, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in just the business side of the organization, so it was great last night to hear some of those stories. And I think the one thing that really caught my eye the most and something that I really see God working in, there's a couple things. So the first one is just growth in the organization. So Steve took over about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, something like that. And it can be really easy in times of transition for an organization to just kind of peter out and for things to not really work out. But Steve has done really just an awesome job at finding other godly people to hire as staff and to start programs, and their reach in this city, I think, has grown substantially through that. So that's been really awesome to see. And I think with the event that was put on last night, to see all of the volunteers involved in that, the staff and volunteer group supporting that organization has also grown exponentially. And so it's been awesome to see God work through people, through Youth for Christ in that way. And then I think also the other thing that was really apparent last night was just the relational aspect. So Youth for Christ has lots of programs and does lots of things in schools and in the community, but two people shared stories with youth. Two staff members, Gear and Carissa, brought up some youth and said, like, this is what Youth for Christ is all about. It's not necessarily about the programs, but it's about what happens after the programs. We come to the programs and we make connections with kids and we start to build relationships, but then it's outside of those programs where we're able to hang out and get to know each other one-on-one, and that's where God is really able to speak into both of their lives, not just the youth's lives, but also the staff members' lives. And that was really apparent last night as well, and really encouraging to see. So I would say that that answers that first question of maybe what have I seen God doing. That's just a nutshell, in a little nutshell there. Where do I see God leading the ministry? I think I see just an overall movement to be really intentional about that's what happens when you don't have time to prepare, you mess up. Really intentional and relational ministry to the youth in Prince George, and not only Prince George but also the surrounding area. So they just hired a new staff member, his name is AJ, and he's going to be the arm of Youth for Christ in Mackenzie. And so it's cool to see God expanding not just in Prince George and our immediate community here, but also to some of the more smaller communities that are outside of Prince George as well, and just to see everybody kind of working together together, and really striving to see young people of Prince George and the surrounding area meet Christ in really real ways and in ways that are going to go past just high school, but hopefully go on into their adult years too. So, yeah, maybe just a couple ways you can be praying for us. Okay, cool. So there's a couple ways that you can be involved and support, and obviously it's a not-for-profit organization, so all of the staff members raise their own wages, and that includes Steve, and so that is always a need. We need people to support these people so that they can continue to do this full-time and to give their lives to this ministry without the worry of having to provide for their family. So for sure that's a way you can be supporting us, and also volunteers for the programs. We always need people and bodies to do that. Just be praying for Steve. This is a big year. He has a lot on his plate. He has a lot of staff members to be working with, and it's kind of a new role. And so you can just be praying for wisdom for him in that role, that he would be able to lead his staff and his volunteers to the best of his ability. And yeah, just that God would be using him and each of the staff members to expand his kingdom. Yeah.
So let's pray for Youth for Christ, for Steve, and for the things that Kim has just mentioned here. So finances, people, volunteers, it's always a matter of God send out workers. That's what everywhere needs, right? And Jesus tells us we can pray for that. So let's pray for that for Youth for Christ. And let's, what was the third one there? Now I'm forgetting. Steve. Yeah, Steve and his leadership of Youth for Christ. So why don't you guys pray out loudly, and then I'll close us off here. And if you want, you can stretch out your arms towards this in a way of blessing, passing on Christ's blessing to the Youth for Christ ministry. So let's pray. Father, we pray for provision. God, these are your workers, and they're involved with you in something you're passionate about. You're passionate about the young people of this city and breaking them out of the realm of darkness and into the kingdom of light. You're passionate about that, and these people, Steve and Josiah and Gira and the others, and AJ and the board members like Kim, Lord, they're passionate about joining you in that. And so, Father, we pray that your blessing would be upon them. We pray that you would provide for them. Pray for Steve, that you would give him wisdom as he leads this group this year. God, we're excited to see what it is that you are doing in this city. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks, Kim. All right, second group is Nest Lake Bible Camp. These guys are no strangers to us, and Dave is no stranger to us. So I'll just turn it over to him to tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Thanks, Dan. Hi, my name is Dave. Nice. 8 minutes is less time than I usually take for things in my life. And so I'm going to show a video. So in case this gets boring, you can always just look at this. It's a promo video. It's just a nature video about squirrels, actually. No. It's The Squirrel Lives at Nest Lake Bible Camp. it's a video, and it shows kind of everything that we do. And you can even kill the volume on it as we watch it here. It shows what all the work ends up being. And it shows kids, and it shows adults, and it shows snow, and it shows all this stuff. And it shows kind of all what all the labor and the money and the prayer turns into, which is kids and people experiencing creation in creation. What's that? Oh, I'll tell him in just a sec, actually. I think I'll do what I want, Daniel. Make no mistakes there. But first off, I do want to say, it's good to be back. We've missed you guys. Gene and I were able to come here and help you guys out and really end up taking part in this church last year. And we've missed you guys a lot, and I'm afraid of the Badgestani family because it's the most stressful thing to talk to them, because it's just the biggest guilt trip you've ever experienced in your life. Come back. We cannot do it without you. You seem to be doing just fine. So... as well, we've been praying for you guys. One thing that we took on this year was to be praying for the church. And the more we pray, the more we praise God for his hand through you guys and what you guys have been to the community. And we think of the Zettles and the loss that's been in your family. And we've kept you guys in mind and the shift as well in your leadership here. And so we're so encouraged to see where you guys are and to know that I wasn't necessary for that guy. So why don't you hit play there? Is that good for you, Dan? That's good. The one verse that's kind of stood out to us this year as we've gone throughout all these things is from Deuteronomy, and it's when Moses is transitioning in kind of the new guy. He's bringing in Joshua, and he says, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore unto their ancestors to give to them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance." And this is the part that really stood out to us. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And I think I personally had forgotten that going into this year, that the Lord is before us. And as we picked up all these different things, it really was discovering that God has gone before us in all these things and looked after our needs in all of these things. And so it's incredible to see what's been going on. We've been transitioning a lot of directors, if you've been keeping track. And so we entered we went into the end of August without a director and going into September and this year, and we're busy with rentals. We have two, especially in September, we'll have kind of two or three rental groups a day, 7 days a week. And so it was a little nerve-wracking, but it was to know that God was before us. And it was watching God bring those things in. So in this transition, we as a staff committed to work on some stuff to get our house kind of in order. So we said we were going to work on having a black budget, a budget that wasn't in the debt. We were going to have no projects on the go. We were only going to wrap up what was already going. We weren't going to start any new projects at all. We're going to have a functional team, and that's a big piece because that's a lot of work. And so we worked hard, and we had a team that was committed to do this. We had staff that were saying, we need to work through some of our little own in-house issues. And then the fourth one, which kind of just fell into place, was healthy staff and board relationship. Making sure that we weren't villainizing our board and that the board was aware of what was going on in our lives. Bringing the personal connection back between board and staff. And so God really walked us through those things in a lot of different ways. The one way was this year-round crew, and Darian's here. Darian, you want to stand up? This is one of your people, and Darian's been with us kind of since January, and Darian was one of those moments where I was sitting there going, I don't know how we're going to get through January and February and March and April. Like, I don't know how we're going to do this. If we don't get people, I'm going to be running coffee, and I'm going to be running activities. I'm not going to have time to do the stuff. And Darian was one of those people who said, yeah, I think I'll come in. And so she's actually been living on site and serving kind of full-time. And those year-round crew are these kind of people. They're Darians and they're Josiahs. Josiah as well is going to this church right now. And he's not here. I think he's in Quesnel this weekend. But he came from Quesnel, is living at camp, and is serving here as well as Ness. And so these guys have been taking Bible courses throughout the year. They've been working on their own personal fundraising. They've been taking things to the next level. We finally have the man hours to properly clean, properly junk out, properly do so many things that needed to get done. We had an intern as well from Prairie Bible College that wrapped up a year with us. We've sent these guys to conferences. Darian was just at Lake of the Trees Bible Camp, which is our sister camp in 100 Mile, and we sent her down there to go and serve at another camp for 3 or 4 days to prepare their property. And so it's given us kind of the abundance in the hands to do more work. And so this year-round crew piece is huge for us. It's 6 people in a year-round positions, and we had a girl with a human resources degree. She was the highest educated person on our staff, and she was in kind of an intern role. And it's been awesome because we've been able to take all those human resources projects and say, here, can you do this? Because we just don't have the time. So if we've walked through this. We didn't have a facilities director or a director in September, and that's kind of a scary place to be. And right now we have an interim guy named Joe Clausen. He's big. He's friendly. He's young. He looks about 13. He's just tall and baby-faced, but he's not here, is he? That's good because he could also take me if he needs to. And Joe has been fantastic. He's transitioning us to the end of October, at which point maybe we put him in full-time, but we knew that we needed to get a director. We've been finishing things. We've been finishing the director's house. Well, it was empty, and we said this is the last chance we have to finish this house. And it's been one of those five-year projects, two-year projects that just we can't wrap up. So we're able to put the time and the effort and the finances behind it to get that project completely wrapped up to the day. The director moved in 2 days ago, or 3 or 4 days ago, and we were just finishing things in there. And it was incredible to walk through the house with them and say, all of this has been finished to get ready for you guys, and to know that that house was really kind of the physical representation of the emotional work that's also been done at camp, the work that God's done to say, you need to rely on us and not yourself. You need to be looking to me and not to just your donor base for provision, that he works through you guys. It's not for us to go clawing at you for money and for prayer. So it's been a shift for sure, and a lot of small stuff around camp. With no big projects, our maintenance team has been free to do what really needs to get done, and we've removed the tyranny of the urgent for a little bit because we're going to take on another project. It's just what we need to do. But we've been able to take this year with these six sets of hands and a new maintenance guy and junk out stuff and get rid of the piles and patch the drywall and fix the broken plugs and replace light fixtures and install LEDs to save us money long term and to light places up. And it is even things like camp has been really dark, and our guests have been complaining. And we just don't have the money to upgrade and fix a lot of the electrical that's around. But we had an electrical company come to us and say, I'll give you $2,500 of free electrical work. So as soon as I got that guy away from John Reimer, I had my own things I wanted to get done. John's not here either, is he? This is working out so well for me. I walking around the site and pointing at things and saying we could use a light here and finding yard lights that have been broken for 15 years and saying, I don't think that's ever been turned on. And at the end of the month, they had done their work, and he said, that's great. We did $6,700 of work. I was like, I don't remember agreeing to that amount. Do we pay the difference? And he said, I'm just stoked that we got these lights for you. And he said, here's the bill. Just send us the donation thing in kind. And it's like, people have pointed and said, wow, Dave, good job doing that. It's like, I had nothing to do with that. I didn't even call him. They called us. And this is how it works. And that's what it looks like to serve the Lord. And what a blessing it's been. And that's just one little thing. $6,700 is nothing in the kingdom. Is nothing in the kingdom. But my word, is it unbelievable to see what he's done in our hearts, which is so much greater than $6,700. And as we see the camp lit up, to know that, man, there is a bright place that is ready for this new director to come in that has been cleaned up and ready to go. I have a lot of other stuff to say, but I'll just bullet point it. We're ahead about 100 registrations. We already have about 750 kids signed up for the summer. That's an encouragement. Our off-season camps, we do about an event in a month, men's weekends, ladies' weekends, mother-daughter, kids' camps, polar bear dips. We had great numbers on those and great response to the gospel on those as well. And we have a new director. His name is Elliot Harder, and he is a patient guy because he showed interest in September. He talked to me, and I said, we're not even opening the position until January. We need to take the time with our board. We need to take the time as a staff to figure out where our issues are, to figure out so that we don't bring in somebody else and then eat them alive and spit them out. And so it's been great, and we're encouraged to have that. So Elliot starts, he's supposed to start Monday. He kind of worked last week. He's here Wednesday. He's going away to back and forth. So really June, he's supposed to come in, and then the board has me kind of training him in the camp stuff. But he has a skill set that is deep in people management and pastoral work, and so we're excited to have him come in, and we're excited to welcome him with the finishness and the readiness this time. There's not the same panic of we're going to have this or we're going to die. So thank you again for your prayers, for your people. They've made a huge difference to us, and we just appreciate what you guys have been to us.
Just two people, if you could pray out for Nest Lake and for Dave and for Elliot, the new director as well, that would be awesome.
Jesus, thank you that you're faithful to extend your glory and expand your kingdom in the city of Prince George. And thank you that you're using Nestlake Bible Camp to do that. I just think of the thousands and thousands of children who've gone through there and heard your word proclaimed and been touched by the love of staff members there. Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to partner with you in growing your kingdom, and that Nestlake has had the opportunity to do that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bless you, Dave. Thanks. All right. Our last group is the Prince George Pregnancy Care Center, and they will tell you a little bit about themselves. So Crystal Campbell is the one I'm going to introduce here. Crystal is the new director as of today. So she has been, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And she's here with Allison Townrow, who she'll introduce, but I'll just hand it over to you guys as well.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet.
A lot of familiar faces. It's great to be here. This is my very first day. Literally, this is the first action that I am doing officially as executive director. You did. It's a scoop. I want to actually introduce you to my client services director. So Allison was executive director, and we've done a swap. And because I need lots of training, I'm going to hand this over to her, and she's going to do the presentation.
So, Crystal's first act as executive director is to delegate to her new client services director a whole bunch of stuff. And we are really excited about all the things that God is doing in our center. As you can see, we have a new executive director. And as the client services director, this is a restructuring for us. And what that means is that we are being able to work in our areas of gifting more clearly. And with this transition, God has given us some real empowerment here. The creation of the client services director is going to give us more time to really invest in our people. Our ministry looks a little bit different than other ministries in town because confidentiality is a real part of who we are and what we do. We are dealing with people who find themselves in sexual sin and finding that to be a place of real difficulty, and they may not have realized that before. And so confidentiality is huge, and we minister to people who at times may never want to say, I came into the crisis pregnancy center, I had an unplanned, look what I just said, I had an unplanned pregnancy, I had a difficult pregnancy. So it's a quieter ministry, it's a background ministry. But nevertheless, we really appreciate your prayers as well. We use volunteers a lot, and our volunteers need to be well trained because they are the people that we want to be actually seeing the clients. So it's not staff, it's volunteers who deal with people in a very difficult situation. With a client services director and our restructuring, we're also going to be able to expand our programs to really look at what we can help, how we can help people in our city. And as God moves forward with us, as God moves us forward, we're going to be able to do more with post-abortion care, with expression of healthy sexuality, and with parenting support of people who do decide to carry to term. The God-given desire of our hearts is this next piece. We want to be a safe, respectful organization that gives compassionate support and accurate information on pregnancy options, sexual health, and post-abortion care. We still plan to move. I don't know how many of you have ever been in our center. The stairs have not gone away. Last year, we almost moved. We found a new place, but it was just really too expensive. And so we are still committed to moving. We are still actively looking. And so please be aware of that. And as you see things around town, you want to give us a call. That would be just really lovely. So God is really working in our center. He has brought us new structure, renewed our hearts, renewed our boards. I really appreciated what Dave had to say about the internal work. We've been doing a lot of that ourselves. One of the challenges we do face is the work that we're doing is not always easily measured in numbers, in statistics. But we can see it in the testimony of the people who have come through our center. And that's who we have today. We have Laura Dalgies, who's going to come and share her testimony. She came to our center wanting to volunteer, ended up having some time with us as a client, and God is using her again now as a volunteer moving forward into the lives of women who come in. So Laura, if you would like to come. So this is Laura Dalgies.
Thank you, Allison. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of Fort George Baptist. Thank you for inviting me to share my testimony with you. I'm the proud mother of two wonderful men and the grandmother of three beautiful princesses and a grandson on the way. But I didn't always feel this blessed. Have you ever had a time when you were confronted with a horrible secret from your past that you thought no one knew about? That moment for me was Mother's Day, 2009. Before I share that, I'll tell you a little bit about myself up to that moment. I was baptized Catholic at birth in Dryden, Ontario in 1961. When I was eight, my family moved to Alberta and then to Prince George when I was 11. After leaving Dryden, we never attended church anymore, only occasionally on Christmas for midnight mass. I always believed in God, but I thought he was a spirit that resided in the heavens, not here among us. I married my high school sweetheart in 1981. I was 20 and he was 22. When I was repeating my vows that the priest was saying, I didn't know what fidelity meant, so I pledged my fertility instead. I conceived on our honeymoon. I was anxious but happy. I really wanted to be a mother, but this was a little sooner than I had actually planned. My husband, on the other hand, was not ready to be a father. And he wasn't ready to share me with a baby, and he suggested that I get an abortion. I reasoned with him that we had no grounds to not have this baby. And I stood my ground on it. And I was still quite independent of mind at that point, and the marriage was still pretty fresh. So he didn't argue much. But there we were, fresh out of the gates, and marital strife. It had never occurred to me to ask God for help. I thought he had much more important and dramatic issues in the world to deal with than my trivial life. So I dealt with my life on my own strength, hoping that my husband would become less selfish and more attentive to his family with time. Unfortunately, after 20 years of many struggles, we separated. My sons, Ryan and Cassidy, had accepted God into their lives, and I was happy for them. They encouraged me to attend church with them, and I would go in spurts. But I just couldn't grasp that it was that easy just to, if I believed in Jesus, that he would just, you know, take care of my sins and that I would be cleaned. It just seemed way too easy to me. Besides, I could take care of myself. All I needed to do was find a good man, right? But after the ravages of divorce, the closing of my business, my many failed relationships, bankruptcy, the death of my best friend, I felt a lot less strong. In fact, I was feeling very beat up. Then came Mother's Day, 2009. Ryan, my oldest son, who was 26 at that time, took me for a picnic on Connaught Hill. He told me that God had something that he wanted me to know, that he wanted him to tell me. But he said, before I tell you that, Mom, I have I had this dream that I need to tell you about. He said, I was on the doorstep of this small house, and I think it was the house that we were in when I was small. I knocked on the door, and a little girl answered. She was blonde and blue-eyed, and there was no one else in the house. I asked her, where are your parents? And she said, they left me. She didn't seem to be upset or afraid, and she seemed older than she appeared. When I woke up, I asked God who she was, and I heard him say, she's your sister. What happened to her, Mom? I was shocked and so ashamed that Ryan knew of my horrible secret. I had to tell him the truth of what happened. When you were 4 and Cass was 2, I became pregnant when the IUD I was using for birth control failed. I was worried how your dad would take the news, but I was also happy that maybe this would be our girl. When I told your dad about it, he exploded. He shouted that he didn't want any more kids. 2 was enough. We can't afford any more. He yelled that he would have nothing to do with it. I yelled back, that if that is how you feel, then there's the door. But I think over the past 5 years, I had lost a lot of my independent thinking and was terrified to be raising children by myself. I allowed myself to believe those things that he was telling me. And I allowed the devil to blind me to the truth. The thought of the child being rejected by its father broke my heart. Forgetting that I would have lots of love to give, I gave in, and I had an abortion. After in the recovery room, the doctor said that I was crying and crying, but I don't remember this. He said that I had asked if it was all over, and he said yes, and I immediately stopped crying. I believe that is when I rolled a stone over my heart to shut down the emotions. Your dad and I never talked about it again. I never blamed him. After all, I made the final choice. I poured myself into you boys, for you were my main source of happiness. Except for the love I had for you, I felt numb. I went through the motions of being an attentive wife, but it never felt right. We even went to marriage counseling, but we never spoke of the abortion. We were coming up on being married for 20 years, and you boys would be leaving home soon. I couldn't bear the thought of being with him all alone. So that's when I moved out. Ryan then said to me, Mom, God wants you to know that he forgives you. That he forgave you even before you did this. You are his precious daughter, and he loves you so much. And he wants to have a relationship with you. But you have to forgive yourself so that you can receive him into your heart. I asked, how can he forgive me? What I did is unforgivable. Ryan answered, he does, and he has. A week later, my youngest son, Cassidy, and his wife, Crystal, were having Tyler, my first granddaughter, dedicated at Gateway. I didn't know why, but I felt something really special was about to happen. When they were at the front of the church and Tyler was asleep in the pastor's arms, I found myself to be drawn right there to be with them. And I just fell down to my knees. I was down on my knees and I was looking up at the pastor holding this beautiful baby girl in his arms. And it was that moment that I realized God did forgive me. And he had been blessing me all along. And it was that very moment that I just let the Lord into my heart. And I just felt these strong, warm, gentle arms around me. And I was just immediately filled with this unbelievable joy. It was the most amazing thing in my life to have encountered. And from that moment on, my life turned around. And the impossible was becoming possible. My dreams were coming true. One blessing after another, my own home, my business, the money just when I needed it, the right people to help me, just when I needed them. God even answered my prayer of bringing me a wonderful, godly man to be my husband. I felt like the prodigal son, whose father was so happy to have him home. I was so grateful, so full of love, joy, and peace like I had never felt before in my life, but I had always been looking for. All so amazing, and all the glory goes to my amazing, awesome God. I totally gave myself over to him. I started attending church full-time and took an Alpha course in the fall. After one of the meetings, I asked God, what would he like me to do? Because I just wanted to do what his plan was for me. I woke up wide awake, 2 a.m., and I heard that I was to help women understand what I know now, that they belong to him, and that he loves them, and that each one of them is his precious daughter. We are special and deserve to treat ourselves with love and respect by being obedient to him. I wasn't exactly sure how I was about to do this until a few months later at the baby bottle fundraiser that the Pregnancy Center does. And I checked the box to be a volunteer. This might be the avenue to pursue my mission. When Allison called me for an interview, I was excited to begin the training. She asked me to tell her my story. When I finished, she suggested that I take the post-abortion program. I was a little taken aback, and I said that I was really fine. God had forgiven me. I had accepted him into my heart. I was full of love, joy, peace, ready to just do God's work. Allison said, that's great, but by going through the program, it will just help make sure that there are no surprises for me. So I could see her point there, even though I was just fine. After a few sessions, I realized there were a lot of issues I hadn't dealt with. The ladies that presented the program were so kind and patient. No judgment, only compassion. The whole program was so very healing. I was able to understand that even though I had accepted God's grace, I had suffered a loss, one that I needed to validate and grieve. By the time I had completed the post-abortion program, I was well on my way to being healed. But I also understood that it would be a process over time, and I can do all things in him who strengthens me. I am now volunteering at the Pregnancy Care Center one day a week as a peer counselor, being a light for others that find themselves in a crisis. I have since had the opportunity to share my testimony with a young client that was in an extreme, she was in an extreme confusion about what she should do about her unplanned pregnancy. I asked her if I could share my testimony with her, and I did. And it was after that that she made a firm decision not to terminate her pregnancy. Today she is, and she also accepted God into her heart. And so today she has a beautiful daughter that she's so absolutely in love with, and she's a wonderful mother. And God also blessed her with a wonderful Christian young man who she recently married. And I just give all the glory to our awesome, wonderful God. Thank you.
Just wait here. Right on. Just for the sake of time, I'll just pray here for the crisis pregnancy, and Kim, if you can come on up as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing here through the volunteers at the Pregnancy Care Center. We thank you for this testimony of you at work, breaking into this world and redeeming and saving people out of brokenness and into new life. Jesus, thank you that we get to live in that kingdom. And so I pray, Jesus, for your favor on this ministry. I pray that you will draw people towards what it is that you have for them through this ministry, through testimonies like Laura. Pray for the new director, Crystal, and pray for Allison in her new position as well. Jesus, cause your kingdom to come through these women and the other volunteers here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.